Yes, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I want to tell my wife before all of you today how beautiful she is and how much I love her. See, before you might just have to guess. Right? Does Thurman love his wife? Well, I'm gonna take away all doubt. I'm going to say, honey, I love you. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we obey God. And did God tell us to tell each other we love each other? He told us to love. Is that what he said? Well, you can't love unless you tell. You know, so I love to tell people, and my wife knows. Of course, I know how women love to be told how beautiful or gorgeous or whatever they are. So almost all of you women, if you've been here very many times, I probably have told you how beautiful you are or how gorgeous you are or something, you know, because I just love to tell ladies how beautiful they are because I know God loves them, and I don't care who you are. I don't care what the world says about you. God don't make no junk. You know, so if he made you, and I'll just give you an example. One day I was over at a church in Dallas, and there was a little lady walked in, and she was not very attractive at all to me. She wasn't dressed beautiful or nothing. She was just a normal little lady. When I looked at her, I didn't even take a second look. I just immediately went back doing what I was doing. And there was a young man about the same height, about the same build, and everything. He walked up, and he said, Pastor, do you see that gorgeous woman that just walked by? I said, you mean that little girl right over there? He said, yeah. I said, yeah, I see her. He said, isn't that the most beautiful thing you ever saw? I said, yes, she is rather beautiful. I said, what is she to you? He said, that's my wife. Now see, that's the way we as husbands should be. That got every one of you girls attention. I heard several of y'all say, oh, because you love to hear that. Don't women like to hear that, Jane? I mean, that's the way normal are. Is that right? I mean, does your lovely wife like to hear you tell her you love her? How beautiful she is? Why, see, she's normal. You see what I mean? Betty, do you like that? See, you see what you girls see what I mean? All girls like that. So we ought to do that more often, especially to our own wife. You know, we ought to tell our own wife regularly how beautiful she is. I mean, once in a while, I'll kid a couple or something. I'll say, wow, where'd you get this good-looking man? You know, and she'll say, well, I picked him up on the highway on the way to church today. So they all know that, you know, that I kid a lot like this, but it does make people feel good when you say, where'd you get this good-looking man? You know, I mean, you might be amazed. That man might never have had anybody tell him he was handsome. You know, that's true. Lots of people don't tell each other that they're handsome or they're beautiful or whatever. That, I mean, it's amazing how we do not obey God's word and how we get cut short in life because we do not do what the master told us to do. Now the world out there, I realize the world, you know, the world, they're just living where they are. You know, they're not the world, you know. The world, if a world walks up and tells a woman she's beautiful, they'll look at her, they'll look her up and down, top to bottom, and if she is a gorgeous woman, a Hollywood product or whatever, they will say something like, wow, are you gorgeous? I'd like to go to bed with you. Well, you know, that's not the way Christians do it. You know, we don't look at people because of what they are. We look at them because we're looking at the heart. You know, like I've told a lot of men, when you look at your wife and you tell her how beautiful she is and that you love her, you're talking directly to Jesus. If you're talking, because that's who you're talking to. A lot of us never get our prayer answered because we don't obey God. Today, I want to talk about something that I've heard a lot of people talk about this. We talked about it a little bit back in Easter, but we're continuing on. I know that there's a young man, I'll give him credit right off, a young Jewish guy by the name of Mark Bilsch. He is the one that came up with what we're going to talk about today. So I can't take any credit. In fact, I don't hardly know enough about it really yet to even talk about it, but I feel like as a pastor of a church, I need to keep you informed because I know that some people don't listen to anything Christian, and so they have no idea of what's happening. Now, first of all, if something happened in 1400 and didn't happen again until the mid-1900s, and it happened two times in the 1900s, and it happened one time in the 2000s, or we're in the process of it right now, we're in the process of it happening right now, and it's not going to happen again for over 400 years. Well, I'm not going to be here the second time around. Are you? You know, I got a feeling, I may be here, Jack. I may be here reigning and ruling with the master. Now that you're back, Adrian, come up here. I want you to give your testimony. I want you to tell us what happened to your wife.
We had some ministers that we used to work with pray for my wife to get healed of her back. Some family member cursed her with some kind of back problems when she was little. So they prayed for her, but nothing happened. I couldn't figure out what the deal is. I'm standing on the word. I'm rebuking that curse and everything. Well, last week she had y'all pray for her. Oh, by the way, the reason that didn't take with the other folks that were ministers is because the word says if you regard iniquity in your heart, God will not hear you. And this, the lady of that team, she died of breast cancer because she hated her mother. Wow. That, you know, your heart's got to be right, you know. Yeah. So anyway, Thurman and Cheryl prayed for her. And she's been down there all week with three grandkids, picking them up and doing all this kind of stuff. No pain whatsoever.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now then, don't get me wrong at the way I'm going to say this, but aren't you glad you have a pastor and his wife that can touch the hand of God? Amen. I mean, I know she's been prayed for by a lot of people, and I'm so grateful, as Dave tried to tell you a while ago, I found that secret place. Now, it didn't come without a lot of study and a lot of pain and a lot of suffering and a lot of time. It didn't just happen. In fact, I had a young man come to a healing school here a while back. He said, Pastor, I want to do what you do. I want to see people healed when I pray for people. I said, that's a good thing. I said, get in the Word, start studying, you know, spend 5, 10, 15 hours a week at least in God's Word. Okay, so he comes back 6 months later and he said, Pastor, I've been studying the Bible night and day. And he said, I haven't seen a single answer to prayer yet. I said, well, now how long have you been doing this? He said, 6 months. I said, well, if you're like me, you only have 9.5 years left to go. He said, I don't want to wait 9.5 years. I said, I didn't want to wait 9.5 years either, but I'm not the boss. Who's the boss, Michael? Jesus. So whenever he knew I was at that point where I could dwell in a secret place with him, he started answering my prayer. And I started praying for people, and I didn't get everybody healed that I prayed over, but I have prayed over a lot of people that I've seen him do some awesome miracles, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And of course, the one I'm the most grateful for is whenever my wife has a need and I can pray over her and God will answer the prayer and take away her problems or pains or whatever and do it almost immediately. You know, I love that and she loves that. I'm telling you, that secret place is available to every one of us. It's available, but it's a time consuming thing. But I trust that you will, when you see God and you hear of prayers like the answer to Adrian's wife's prayer, that you will see people that have spent that time with God and that he does answer their prayer for them, just like Dave. I mean, you know, Dave, I remember, as we've told you several times, whenever I first met Dave years ago, I told him, I said, son, I saw his condition. He was terrible. I said, I don't care what you have. If you will do what I tell you to do from God's Word, I guarantee the Lord Jesus will heal you. And of course, he's like so many of you. Now, Pastor, you can't guarantee God will do anything. Yes, I can. Why can't I do that? Because I'm in his Word. It's in, and I believe it. And so I've spent those years with him, and I've reached that secret place where I really have no doubt in my heart that he will do what he promised. And that's a secret place we all need to be in, right? Yes, that's where we need to be. And so, and I love it. And of course, the thing about it is right now, we are experiencing something that I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but I'm going to warn you with what little knowledge I have about this. And when I told you a while ago, this happened in the late 1400s, and then it didn't happen in the 1500s, the 1600s, the 1700s, and the 1800s. So there's over 400 years that it didn't happen again. And then it happened in 1948 and 1950. And then it happened just a few years later again in 67 and 68. And now then, it's happening again in 2014 and 2015. And as far as NASA knows, it's not going to be scheduled to happen again for at least another 400 years. And we're alive and well going to get to see this. So when the first part of this happened in Passover, this last year during the Feast of Passover, there was a blood moon took place. I told y'all it was going to happen. And some of you stayed up, and Cheryl and I, we stayed up to 3 or 4 o'clock. We watched it. We watched it come from a beautiful full moon with golden gold to light red, to dark red, to light red, to white again. We watched it for hours. That's something that only happens once in a great while. Well, every time this has happened, with four of these in a series, like is what we're experiencing right now, we have just a little over 2 weeks, two Sundays and a part of a week, and we're going to see the next blood moon. It's going to happen. This just in 2.5 weeks, we're going to see another one of these things happen, something that it's been just don't hardly ever happen. But anyway, it's going to happen. NASA's told us, they told us the last one, they told us exactly. In other words, they know where the location of all the planets and stars and moon and everything, and they told us exactly to the hour what time. And it was even on the news that night. You know, they said there's going to be a blood moon. You know, nobody knows what it means, but you know, the world don't have a clue. But God knows what it means. And so we stayed up and see it. And in 2.5 weeks, on October the 8th, there's going to be another one for the end seasons. Now, these seasons or these feasts that they're happening on is what makes this so unique. Because in Passover, that's a feast of the Lord. Not of the people, but of the Lord. The Lord's feast. And that happened. Now then, we're into tabernacles, and it's going to happen in just a little bitty short period of time, 2.5 weeks. And we're going to see this happen again. And then, as we're going to read out of Joel 2 in a minute here in the NLT, I'm kind of giving you a summary of what we're going to read, and then we're going to read it. After we see this second blood moon take place in just 2.5 weeks, that was in 1 year, 2014, a blood moon take place at Passover and one take place at Tabernacles. That's two of the Lord's feasts. On those exact days is when this is going to happen. Now then, in January of 15, we're going to see something that hardly ever happens, and that is a complete eclipse of the sun. And the sun is going to turn to darkness. And we're going to experience something that very rarely anybody ever sees. But it's going to get virtually dark in the midday of January. There's going to be a day, and I'll give you the exact day when we come to that. And then in just a couple of months after that, in 2015, there will be another Passover feast, and there will be another blood moon. Now, isn't this unique? You know, that all this is happening, and we will see that. And then just a little bit further down, like at the same time of the year, at Tabernacles again next year in 2015, there will be the fourth of the four blood moons. Anybody know what happened in the late 1400s that was significant? America was born, right? The Jews were thrown out of Spain. And when they throwed them out, they stole all their money and they sent the people on a journey to see what was on the other side of the earth because we didn't know, and they found America. I would say that was pretty significant. You know, it changed lots of people's lives, all of ours for sure. And so that was a very unique event that happened. It was good. It was bad and good. The bad was they stole all our money, but God works everything for good. So he took all that money and sent a fleet of ships to find America, and they found it. And so that was good. Now then, after 1492, this didn't happen again until 1948 and 49 and 50. Now then, all of us know what happened significant to the Jews in 48, don't we? A nation was born in a day. I mean, the Bible said this was going to happen, but even some of the best preachers out there said, this is impossible. There is no way Israel can become a nation. They've not been a nation for over 2,000 years, and there ain't no way they can become a nation in one day. But because of one president, President Truman, he had been raised up as a little boy. His mother told him God's going to raise him up for something special. He didn't have a clue what it was. But Harry Truman was put in the right place at the right time to say, we declare Israel is a nation. And everybody, I mean, on his staff, in the Congress, both Democrats, Republicans, everybody says, do not make Israel a nation. In fact, one of his main men looked him right in the face and said, if you vote for them, I'll never vote for you again. That was pretty awesome, wasn't it? But he didn't go. He still went by his movement by God. And he said, I declare Israel's a nation. And then, of course, they made Israel a nation, and they started shipping the supplies and stuff to Israel. And within just a few days, millions of Arabs came against them. Millions. And they tried to annihilate the Jews. A handful of people. And they beat them. It's amazing. But that happened in the 1940s. And then in the 1960s, we had the four feasts in a row and the four blood moons again. And that's when Israel took over Jerusalem and made it their capital city. Now then, something very significant happened on all these feasts. Are you wondering what might could happen? I mean, we're at that same time right now. Now then, we're going to read this in just a minute in Joel chapter 2. But I want you to be thinking, am I right with God? Am I really right with God? Is my family right with God? Do I have family that's lost, that's not listening to God? Maybe I need to go talk to them. Maybe I need to pray for them, whatever. Because let me tell you what could happen. I mean, I'm not a prophet and I don't know, but all of us are hearing the devastation that the United States is in economically and the world. Is that right? Are we hearing bad things about the world? What if they collapse the dollar? Just 30 cents in the next 6 months or the next year. What if they collapse the dollar 50 cents? You have any idea what that would do to you? If you're struggling right now trying to make your house payment, and you're struggling to buy gas to go to work, and you're struggling to buy groceries for your family, and all of a sudden they say, okay, we're going to just devalue the dollar by 30 cents. All of you that are struggling will be in big trouble. Is that right? You pull up to that gas pump, and that gas pump don't cost you $3.15 or $3.25 no more. It now costs you $4.50 or $4.75 to fill that car with gas to go to work next week. There's going to be some of you that's going to quit driving. Some of you may start riding a bicycle. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just saying that with what I'm looking at and what we're going to read from the scripture in a few minutes about what I'm talking about here, this is going, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And sometimes it happens bad and good, or either way, who knows? Sometimes it's all bad. Maybe, what if these ISIS troops that are coming across the border in South Texas, these Muslim terrorists, what if they were to decide to just come across Texas and with their weapons? Are you ready? Do you know how to pray your way through that? Are you going to be one of the ones that gets killed? Somebody said, that could never happen. Give me a break. It can happen. It can happen. I guarantee it can happen. You know, if you'd have asked me a few years ago, do you think it's possible for us to bring millions of infected young people, that the government of the United States would bring them into the United States and put them in states all over and command us to take care of them? I'd have said, there ain't no way they'd ever do that. Nobody would be able to stay in office to do anything like that. And, you know, that may be the case. What if somebody were to tell you that Obama's no longer going to be the president of the United States? They're going to kill him. They're going to throw him out. What if they were to tell you that? I mean, could that be a reality with what he's done? Yeah, that's absolutely a fact. I mean, anything could happen. If he were to be thrown out, it could create an uproar in America. Because just here a while back, I saw three young black boys. And I asked them, I said, boys, you boys Christians? And they said, oh, yeah, we're Christians. I said, y'all go to church? Well, we go a little, once in a while. I thought, well, that don't mean much. I said, okay, boys, let me ask y'all a question. I said, did y'all vote for Obama? Absolutely. I said, what kind of job's he doing? Fantastic. He's the best president we ever had. I said, you boys got a job? No, we're looking for one, but we can't find one. I thought, these boys don't have a clue. They voted for Obama because he was black. You know, and they think he's doing a good job because he's black. And that's not the case at all. I am not prejudiced. I would never vote for anybody because of color. I don't care what color you are. I want you to be able to produce something for the country. I don't want you to be a Muslim. You know, when I asked him, I said, do you guys know that he's a Muslim? No, he's not a Muslim. He's a Christian. I said, no, he's lying. He says he's a Christian, but I said, he ain't a Christian. Well, how do you know so much? I said, because I know the Word of God. And the Word of God clearly says that Christians obey the Word of God. They don't go out and steal and kill and do all the things. And they don't do that. So I said, that's how you can tell who a real Christian is. But if we were to have something like that happen in America, and he were to get evicted from office, or he were to get killed, somebody did assassinate him, do you realize that we could have some kind of a devastating war on our hands right here in America? You know, there would be people. I mean, what did we see up in, where was that? In Missouri or whatever that was the other day? You know, I mean, we saw something happen up there that, I mean, yeah, I realize a white cop did shoot a black boy. But, you know, first of all, we shouldn't be out there at wee hours of the morning breaking into stores. You know, if you're out there in the wee hours of the morning breaking in a store and a police officer comes and somebody reaches through the window and grabs you and starts pounding you in the face, I got news for you. If I'd have been that police officer, I wouldn't care whether that boy's white, black, brown, or whatever he was. If he attacks me and I'm a police officer, I could never be a police officer. I just couldn't. When I went to Vietnam, I had one thing on my mind: coming back alive. You know, coming back alive. If you have to kill somebody, you don't want to kill nobody. But if bullets start flying and you look around and there's some of the things that happened over there, there were some guys walking along one day and that, you know, it was just on a patrol. And there was three women out in the rice paddy planting rice. And they got by them. They didn't think nothing about these three women. And then all of a sudden, they started hearing bullets. And they turned around and looked as the guys were dropping dead around them. And they looked, and those three women had a Tommy gun swung between their waist over their dress. They'd pulled up their dress, and they were trying to kill these guys. So in a few seconds there, those guys killed all three of those women. And then people like, you know, some of the people that we had come over there that saw where we kill women, they say, what a bunch of heathens. Well, let me tell you what. When I was over there in war, I didn't care if you was a man, woman, or a child. If I come around the corner and you had a gun and you was pointing at me, you're dead. You know, that's the only way you can live. You can't live trying to say, oh, hey, you're a little boy, you're 12 years old, you know, let me have it. No, he's killed you. You even walk toward, you're dead. I hope none of you have ever had to be in war. And I hope you never see that happen in America. But let me tell you, I had a woman here a while back wrote me a letter and said, Pastor, I don't like what you said from the pulpit. You said if somebody walked in your church that was shooting people, you'd kill them. I said, ma'am, that's exactly right. If they walk in here, I am well armed and ready in this church, and somebody starts shooting people, I'm telling you, somebody's going to die, and I'm going to play it not to be me. You see where I'm coming from? I am here to protect you. If somebody comes in, yes. I hate to say this as a Christian, but if somebody walks in there and started shooting people in here, let me tell you, if I can hit him, I guarantee in 2 seconds he's going to be dead. I'm going to kill him. And she said, I don't like the way you said that. Okay, I bet you ain't never been to Vietnam and walked through the jungles. I bet you ain't never been to Afghanistan and been shot and seen your friend get blowed all to pieces right beside you, his legs blowed off. You ain't never seen none of that, and I hope you never have to see that. I hope you don't. But let me tell you, if it happens, and it may happen in America, between these blood moons, there is a possibility that this war between Russia and Israel could come to pass. And if it does, we're going to get sucked into it. Are you ready? Are you ready for a war in America? I don't think none of us are. But you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the next few years. After I'm going to read to you here in a minute from Joel chapter 2, we're going to use the NLT. We're going to read every verse all the way through verse 32. And I'm going to show you about what the Lord's talking about with the signs he's going to show us from the heavens. Now then, something that has only been done so few times in history, and he does it during my lifetime 3 times. It's kind of awesome, isn't it? But yet, if I'd have been born in 1500, I could have lived 400 years and never seen it one time. But by being born in 1938, I was just a young boy, 10, 11 years old when it happened the first time, so I didn't have any clue what it was. But it happened 4 blood moons on 4 feast days in sequence in the same year. And then in 67, it happened again. Well, right now we're in the midst of the middle of this thing, and it's happening again. And it ain't going to happen again for another 400 plus years. So, what's God trying to show us? Well, I don't know. So let's look and see. Let's go to Joel chapter 2, and let's go to verse 1, and look what he says there. Sound the alarm. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to sound the alarm. I'm trying to tell you there is a possibility. Why am I screaming? I'm sounding the alarm. I don't know what's going to happen. I do not know, but something's going to happen. I need to be ready. You know, I need to be ready. You know, just like I say, I would hope that nothing devastating does happen to us. But if it does, I'm going to try my best to be ready. He says, sound the alarm in Jerusalem. Raise the battle cry on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear because the day of the Lord is upon us. How many of us are supposed to be trembling? He said, all of us. You ain't going to like this day, I guarantee you. You know, I mean, if you had the misfortune to be in Vietnam or be in Afghanistan or Kuwait or any of the places where many of our boys are still fighting today, or if you'd had the misfortune just to be down in Fort Hood, how would you have liked to have been one of those boys and girls in Fort Hood, thinking you're on safe ground on a military base, and all of a sudden a major walks in with his guns and starts blazing, and he kills all these people, and even the President of the United States refuses to say it's a terrorist activity. But yet he's screaming, Allah, all about Allah the whole time. I'm going to tell you what. Have any of you ever heard of General Blackjack Pershing? Okay, some of you heard about him. We need another one like him. General Pershing, if you have never heard about him, he was in the 1800s and 1900s, but this young man, he became a military officer, and he studied hard. He went to lots of schools and did a lot of things, and he finally became general of the military, the Army, and then he was all the way up to chief of staff after he retired from the Army after all these years. He became chief of staff, but he was a great military leader. He happened to be in charge of the Philippines. At one time, all the forces in the Philippines, he was in charge of. When he was in charge of all the Philippines, they had some extremely high Muslim activity, terrorist activity, while he was over there. And they were experiencing lots of things. So he went out and he had his men capture 50 Muslim terrorists, 50. And then he brought them and they dug holes and put posts in the ground, and they stood these men up and tied them to these posts. And then he went and he had two pigs slaughtered right in front of them, because a Muslim believes if he touches pig blood or has anything to do with, he won't eat a bite of pork or nothing. If he does, he believes that he will immediately be condemned to hell. And when he dies, he'll not go to heaven and be with his 70 virgins that they promise you when you get to heaven. Now, some of you don't even know that, but the Muslims are promised 70 virgins when they get to heaven if they've done things good for Allah. Isn't that crazy? But that's what they do. So anyway, he captured 50 of them, and then he had his men slaughter two pigs, and then he took those men, and they dipped the blood of their bullets in that blood, and then they shot out there, stood out there one at a time, and they killed 49 of those men. And then after they killed 49 of them at a post, then they throwed them in this great big giant hole they dug, and then they put all this pig blood and all the entrails and everything all over the top of them, and then they covered them up and buried them, all 50 of them, all 49 of them. And then he turned the 50th one loose. He said, you go back and tell your brothers, this is what's going to happen to every Muslim that comes to heaven. We have another attack. I'm going to do this to every Muslim on these islands. And for 50 years, they didn't have another single Muslim attacked. 50 years. Now, let me tell you what. I don't want to see that happen in America, but I'm telling you what, that's the only thing they understand. See, don't ever trust a Muslim. I mean, I have known them, I've been around them, and I don't care what you say. I don't care if you got one as a neighbor. If they are a Muslim, don't trust them. You cannot trust a Muslim. He will tell you he'll do one thing, and you'll turn your back, and he'll stab you in the back. There's a friend of mine that lived down here in Dallas that had a Muslim for a neighbor, and he tried his best to lead this guy to Jesus, but he didn't understand the principles really, but he still tried. Every time he'd talk to him, he'd talk to him about Jesus. One day this Muslim neighbor told him, he said, I want you to stop talking to me about this Jesus guy. I don't believe in him. He said, I hate all Americans and all Jews, and he said, one day, the day's coming, I'm going to have to kill you. How would you like to have a neighbor like that? I believe I would move. But you can't trust them. So don't ever. They don't live in the same place you live. I can trust Christians with my life, but I can't trust Muslims with nothing. Nothing. If you want to die, just trust a Muslim. I'm warning you. I'm sounding the alarm. That's what I'm telling you. You know, you want to live? Hey, you can be good to them. You can do whatever you want to. But if you've read the Quran, in fact, I've had lots of people ask me, why is some Muslims terrorists and why are some not? I said, that's the same reason some are Christians or violent Christians and some are not. I said, some of them have read the Bible. Those that have read the Bible, they become violent with the Word of God. They believe the promises of God. They say, wow, they learn who we are, what I can do. Wow, look at this. Jesus said, I'm his son. I can do, if I dwell in a secret place with him and believe him, there ain't nothing impossible with me when I pray. Wow, let me find somebody to pray for. Oh, here's a woman who's got a back problem. Let me lay hands on her. But she won't even stand there and let me. She runs off. But she still got healed. That really happened. She wouldn't even stand there and let me pray for her. She ran off. But I prayed for her and God healed her anyway in her unbelief. And she's been healed for 10 years. Is that right, Scott?
Yes.
Yeah, you see what I mean? So for those of us that are violent Christians that live in the secret place, just like Dave said, does God answer our prayer? Yes, he answers our prayer. Even when, now that I don't have to run after her no more. I mean, her and her husband, they run after me now. You know, they want what I got, right, Scott?
Amen.
They know, they've seen it work with their children and everything. And I'm going to tell you another one too. Their precious little daughter sitting right there. After they learned, after she got healed, they adopted this precious little girl right here. And she couldn't walk. The doctors told her that she would never walk. So they said, we'll adopt her anyway. Well, her natural born mother and daddy didn't want her because she's never going to be able to walk. So they gave her to CPS. They went down there and found this precious little thing laying there. They said, we know what the problem is. The mother and dad had been living out of wedlock. They brought that little girl out here to us. I took the promises of God, broke the power of God over the power of the devil over this precious little thing. And this precious little thing started crawling shortly after that. And within a month or two, she's standing up walking. And today she's what, nine?
Nine
years old. And she's singing for y'all up there. She's running and playing. But yet the doctor said, this little girl would never walk. Does she look like she walks pretty good?
Woo-hoo!
Don't you love having a God that answers prayer?
Amen.
That does what he says in his word. But I'm telling you, I'm screaming the alarm from the housetop. I'm telling you, be ready. I don't know what's going to happen. I hope it's good, but it could be bad. So if it's bad, then be ready. Because I don't know. But he says, verse 2, it is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. Suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like this has been seen before or will ever be seen again. I don't know about you, but I don't like it already. Do you, Michael? I don't like it. But that doesn't mean it ain't going to happen, does it? If God put it in the Word, you better listen. I hope nothing bad happens in the next year or two. But somewhere down the line, all this is going to happen. Be ready. I tell you what, most of us, and if I hadn't been to Vietnam and back, and so those boys that have been to Afghanistan and back, they know what I'm talking about. If I had never been to those places, never seen what goes on in those worlds, never seen the people killed, never seen the guys shot up, all the stuff that we saw over there in Afghanistan and Vietnam, if I'd have never seen that, I'd have just been an old country boy from Texas. I'd never seen anything other than a rabbit shoot. You know, you go out and shoot a rabbit, no big deal. But I know that, like when we went out and shot those rabbits, I can remember we used to have a little 36 Chevrolet. It had great big old round headlights about that big on each side of the radiator. And I used to get on that big old round fender on one side or the other, and I would put my legs over, put my feet on the bumper, and put my leg in under that thing and then push my body down where that you couldn't get me out unless you pulled my leg back up like this. And we get, and run 15, 20, 30 miles an hour out there in the wheat fields shooting rabbits. And the guy that's driving is a wild man. He's staying up with that rabbit. You know, and that rabbit's like this and this. And, you know, sometimes you're hanging out like this, you know, with your leg hung right. If you didn't have that hung, he'd throw you off. And you're out there shooting a rabbit. You know, that's almost the way it is in Vietnam. But we were shooting people. I don't want to go there, do you? I don't want that. I don't want to have to do that. Nobody wanted to do that. And a lot of the boys that were over there, I lost lots of friends over there. Good friends. They got their head shot off or whatever. One of my good friends went to school with me in high school, and when he got sent to Vietnam, he didn't last 2 weeks. He was a patrol leader, platoon leader, and in the second week, he got shot and killed dead. 2 weeks. He didn't last no time. One of my other good buddies that went over there with me, he went back for a year and come back and went back for another year and then came back and went back for the third. I tried to talk him out. I said, please. I said, don't go back over there. I said, God has really protected you. I said, you've had two full tours over there and got out alive. I said, don't go back again. He said, Thurman, those people need us. I said, they don't need us. I said, it's just a war we're fighting over there. I said, it's going to go whether you are there or not. But I said, you've lived over it twice. Don't go back. But he wouldn't listen. He went back a third time, and he got killed. Every time I go home to look at the grave where my mother and dad and my sister is, his mom and dad buried him right beside my sister. And I think, wow, there, I used to run and play with him, you know, and all that kind of stuff. We had lots of fun together. But he got killed in Vietnam. But a lot of boys got killed in Vietnam. A lot of them. You know, but what's going to happen? We don't know. But something, a great and mighty army. Okay, verse 3. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them, the land, it's as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Now, you know, when you look out here today, if you come to a place where we've had rain and we've had good weather, when you look out there, you may not think about it like this, but you know, that land with the grass and the flowers and things, when you walk outside and look in the front of the church, to me, it could look as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Do y'all see where I'm coming from? I think of the land like that in Vietnam, how the land was beautiful, you know, green. But yet after we went over it with our airplanes and our tanks and everything else, I mean, bombs going off, they're shooting in front. There's things being blown all to pieces, bodies being blown through the air. I mean, you can't imagine if you've never been to war. You've never seen anything. You have no idea how devastating it can be. But do you know that could happen here? I don't want it to happen here, but it could, couldn't it? So here we look, we go outside and we look, wow. Some of us fail to acknowledge the fact that all those beautiful flowers out there in front, they didn't just happen. Somebody has to water those things 2 or 3 times a week. Somebody has to trim those things and cut those things. I think about my wife when she goes out there and trimming all. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm trimming all the roses off so new ones will grow. I said, well, it's a good thing I got you, because if I didn't, there wouldn't be no roses to grow. Because I ain't going to go out there and trim them. That's not my job. I'm not that. I'm just not the gardener. She is. She's a good one. And she can make roses grow. I never could make roses grow. I don't. That's just not one of my things. But anyway, I look at that. I still back off and look at it and think how beautiful it is. It reminds me of a story that a guy one time was walked in this garden. It was a rose garden. And he said, man, it was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen in my life. He says, I walked all through this garden and with the guy that owned it. I told him, I said, doesn't the Lord do great work? He said, he does. But he said, you should have seen it when he had it by himself. Who did God give this earth to, girl? To us, right? And he told us to till the ground and make it grow, right? So if we don't till the ground, what grows up there? Weeds. Absolutely right, girl. Weeds. I mean, it's not beautiful. When God got it by himself, it ain't beautiful, is it? I mean, all you got to do to your lawn at home, just don't take care of it. And guess what happens? You get weeds and everything else. I think about here a few years ago when they dug this big old pipeline down here and put a 2 or 3 foot pipe all the way to Justin for the tank. I stopped up there one day and it was grading off all that ground on the inside of the road. I mean, just getting it like this floor and just clean. And then they went down through with a great big machine and they dug a 8 or 9 foot deep ditch. And then they put that 2 foot diameter, big old giant pipe way down in the ground. And then they covered that thing back up and made it just as smooth as this again. Not a seed there. They didn't plant nothing. In a year, guess what was on that? Solid weeds. I mean, there was not a blade of grass, hardly. No, the weeds, you don't have to plant weeds. They just come up everywhere, don't they? And that's what happens if nobody's taking care of it. But here, this was like the Garden of Eden. But it says, the fire burns in front of them, and the flames follow after them. Ahead of them, the land lies as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them, nothing but destruction, desolation. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that something? That those tanks, I can't even imagine the fact if tanks were to start moving across this area and they were to start shooting and blowing up houses and all kinds of devastation. We never seen that here, have we? In 77, I went to Cairo to build a building for a company for the Egyptian airport. I went over there to build a building. And while I was there, I saw how terrible Egypt was. I saw how wicked it was. I saw how filthy it was. I'd never seen a place in my life that stunk any worse than that place does. You finally just grow accustomed to it and don't smell it no more. But that's just the way it is. It's not like America. It's terrible. But one day while I was there for 3 months. And while I was there, they raised the price of propane to a quarter a gallon. Now, you may think, a quarter a gallon? Some of you may not even use any propane. You wouldn't have any idea whether that's high or cheap. But back in that day, when they raised it, that doubled, it either doubled or tripled the price of it. And if you pay a quarter a gallon and you work all day long as a hard-working man for 25 cents, that don't go very far, does it? It takes a day's pay to buy a gallon of propane. They had an uproar over there. I mean, they started a riot. They was up and down the streets. They were screaming, shooting each other, killing each other. Tanks was driving down the street in front of the house I was staying at. My wife and son were with me on the inside. Needless to say, I didn't feel very safe. I was over there without even a weapon. You know, I didn't have nothing. I was just a bystander in this war. But I'm telling you what, when they come to me a few months later, I had got their building going, and I got it open for them like they wanted. And then, of course, this is 1977, but this lady, Miss Sayam Rioff, it's amazing I can remember her name. It's such a strange name. Usually I can't remember anybody's name, but I heard her name one time and I never forgot it. But she come out into that TWA airplane as I was leaving and said, Thurman, if you will stay with us for a year and continue to operate this facility for us, she said, I will give you $50,000 tax-free. Let me tell you, 1977, $50,000 was a lot of money. I looked at my wife and my wife said, no, please. She didn't like it over there no more than I did. But I told that lady, I said, no, there's more in life than money. I can't do this. I've got to go back home. And of course, when she walked off, my wife grabbed me and hugged me. And she said, oh, thank God you didn't stay over here another year. She said, this place is awful. And it was. I mean, do you think a woman feels safe sitting up on the porch looking down with a couple of tanks driving through down there and turns swinging around toward you? They could have blown you away in a minute, in a heartbeat. But when they shoot, I mean, at first in front of you is the Garden of Eden. But after this battle comes through, and I believe this battle is the battle of Armageddon. I believe that's what this is. Now, I may be wrong, but it's some kind of terrible battle. Because as it comes through, they're shooting. Whenever tanks, you know, I mean, some of you probably saw the war in Israel on video or something. You've seen it where the tanks are coming across and they're shooting and bombs are blowing up and people are getting thrown through the air and pieces of bodies are blowed up and everything else. I mean, it's awful. War is awful. But that's what they're there for, to kill mankind. And that's what they're doing. And so in front of them now, there's like the Garden of Eden. And then after them tanks come through, they shoot, there's fire, flames, everything, and behind them is nothing left, total destruction. You know, and some of us would almost kill if somebody messed up our car. You know, I've seen people put a sign on the back of your car, this car protected by Smith & Wesson, don't mess with it. Hadn't you seen those? I wonder what they would think if a couple of two or three tanks were unloaded and they swung around and shot their car and blowed it all to pieces. I wonder what they would think. They ain't gonna do nothing to them boys, are they? Not hardly, not hardly. But it's I don't know what's gonna happen, but this is in the Word of God. So this is devastating. Let's go to the next verse. It says, they look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. What could that possibly be? It could be a helicopter. You know, I mean, back in those days, the people that wrote the Bible, they never heard of a helicopter. They didn't have a name for it or nothing, did they? They didn't know what this was, so they don't know what it is. So, but at least today we've seen these things. They look like war horses. You know, they charge forward like war horses. Verse 5 says, look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire spreading across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Never experienced that. You don't want to experience that. Take it from me. You don't want to go there. But God says this is coming somewhere. I hope this don't come to America. Verse 6. Now this is us. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. Is that right? I guarantee. You never get used to war. You don't get hardened to war. I don't care if you happen to be there. I will tell you something that was terrible, what the Viet Cong did to a lot of our guys. And this is the most devastating thing I ever saw. It's maybe not the most devastating thing, but a terrible thing. They would dig holes about 12, 18 inches in diameter. And then they would build a mat down there, and then they would put dried bamboo shoots on them that stuck up about that high. And they just put them all down in there, and then would cover them up with a light layer of bamboo so that you couldn't see it. And if you're watching where you're going and you're not paying total attention, even dragging your feet as you go, if you happen to step on one of them and you fall through that, then bamboo shoots, at least two or three or four of them would go right through your foot all the way through your shoe. That's not exactly having a good day. But, you know, that happened. They did that all the time. You had to be watching what you were doing. You know, but those guys over there, you know, the men, the Viet Cong over there, they had one thing in mind too, living, just like us. They didn't have nothing against me. They didn't even know who I was. But because I'm American, they hate me. They wanted to kill me. I didn't have nothing against them. I didn't even know them. Never seen one of them. But I guarantee if one of them walked around the corner and he had a gun in his hand, he's dead. I don't ask no questions. You know, I don't, any of you ever see the movie that Audie Murphy made about himself? You ever see that movie? Audie Murphy, y'all know who he was, right? He was a little bitty guy, you know, that turned out to be the most decorated man in the Army. Nobody wanted him because he was too little. Well, finally got in some branch of the Army. I don't know which one it was, but he finally got in there. And they made a movie. He turned out to be the most decorated man, had more Purple Hearts than everything else, and anybody. So they finally decided to want to make a movie of him, and he played the part himself. And so I watched that movie, and I'll never forget the time that he went, when he had his gun, and he charged through the door of a house, charged through that door, and as he charged through the door, as he swung around, the house was full of mirrors. And as he swung around, all he saw was his own reflection, and he's killing himself. And he killed every one of them before he stopped. It was him. He was shooting himself in a mirror. That's the only way you can stay alive in war. You don't take the time to say, oh, that's Scott. If that had been Scott in there, Scott would have been dead. You understand? Anything that was in there wasn't supposed to be there. And so he killed whatever and asked questions later. And that's how he became the most decorated soldier in World War II. It's because he didn't ask no questions. He just shot and asked later. And that way he lived through it. But he went through all kinds of actual hell on earth as a soldier. But he was the most decorated soldier that ever. He had more decorations on him than any human being in history. But that's the way he did it. And when I saw that movie, I thought, no wonder. He didn't ask no questions to nobody about nothing. He just shot. And if anything's left standing, it was him. And that's how he lived. But that war is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. That's why fear grips all the people. And everyone grows pale with terror. Because when these kind of things start happening, I guarantee that's us. I would do the same thing. Although I've been trained a little bit in war, I've been to war, but you never grow used to it. You just don't get used to seeing people get killed or having to kill people. You just don't ever get used to that. Verse 7, the attackers march like warriors. And they scale the city walls like soldiers. They go straight forward. They march never breaking rank. I can't even imagine a group of men, that many men, that are marching like that. There's thousands of them. I mean, what are you going to do if they were to come to here, to this country? What if there were thousands of them? You know, well, like I tell Cheryl, I said, honey, one thing about it, I'm not going to fear anything because I know who's in control, and I can only die physically one time. They can only kill me one time. The Lord told me, don't fear them that can kill the body. Fear him who can kill the body and then cast you into hell. Well, that's the Lord. So when I do finish up my life on this earth, when it is over, and of course I hope it's long, just like I hope yours is long. Nobody wants to die. You know, we all want to live as long as we can. But you know, I get tickled at some people that have a good life, really. They got good things to eat, drink, a car, a place to live, and everything else. And yet every time I talk to them, the only thing they can say is they're grumbling and complaining because things ain't going just right. You know, every time I see somebody like that, I think, you know, I wouldn't want to take you back to the jungles of Viet Cong. I'd just like to take you to some of the jungles in Mexico. You know, where those poor kids, you know, I used to go down there. I had an operation in Mexico City and one in Acapulco that I took care of for several years. I've been down there many times, and I think about the poverty that I've seen in that place. The poor little children that were out there with nothing to eat or drink. And I thought, wow, I'd like to take. So when I run into somebody that's complaining about what they got in America, or some boy, especially some young kid that's been raised up here and he thinks he's being misabused or treated wrong or whatever, and let me take you to Mexico with me on a trip. And I'd really like to take you back up in the jungles, you know, unless you tough it for a couple of days. Oh, but after they had to eat bugs for a day or two, they'd probably be a whole lot easier to get along with, would they, Michael? Not that I'd want to do with people like that, but you know, people forget what we have. We forget to thank God for the beautiful things that we have every day. You know, it's easy to grumble and complain instead of saying, Lord, thank you. When you walk outside, thank you. Lord, thank you that I can still walk. I got two legs and they still work. Amen. You know, and I can feel them things, Lord, and thank you that I got two arms. And thank you, Lord, that I got a face. I can still talk and I can still see. Lord, thank you. Lord, I can still hear too, by the way. I want to thank you. Instead of grumbling and complaining because I can't do this or I can't do that, we ought to thank him for what we can do, right? I just stand amazed at us. Why, the attackers, they march like warriors, verse 8. They never jostle each other. Each move is exactly in the right position. They break through defenses without missing a step. This is quite a trained army, isn't it? Wow, it could be. Never thought about that, but it could very well be. Verse 9. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter at the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. Boy, this sounds like we're under attack, doesn't it? Verse 10. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. Okay, now here we're getting one of these signs we're talking about. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark. And we're fixing to see that sun grow dark for the first time that we've ever seen it. The only time this has happened is when there's a complete eclipse of the sun. And one of those times, the one that happened when all this has happened before, is when we had the blood moons, when this happened when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. When Jesus died, that day that he was hanging on the cross, there was a total eclipse of the sun. It happened. We remember reading that in the scripture. It grew dark that day, didn't it? Just like he says here. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. He give us the sun, the moon, and the stars for signs to show us what he's going to do. And it's like most people are going to miss this completely. Let me ask you this question. How many of you knew that last Easter there was going to be a blood moon? Okay, some of you, not very many of you. Okay, the rest of you didn't know about it, right? Okay, if you wasn't here today, chances are you wouldn't know that in 2.5 weeks there's going to be another one. More than likely, there's only a handful of people that's going to know all these things that God is showing us as signs, and He put them out there where they're easy to be hidden, where you can't see it. Did He put these signs out there where nobody can see them? Or are they out there where everybody can see them? All you got to do, young lady, to see that moon was be out there that night, right? And you saw the moon turn to blood. Did you see it? You didn't see it. You knew about it, though. Yeah, Cheryl and I, we saw it. We stayed up. I told her, I said, you know, something ain't going to happen but once or twice in my lifetime. I'm going to stay up. If I had to sit up all night long, I'm going to see this. And there's that big old white, gold, full moon, and all of a sudden it starts turning blood red. Did you see it, Michael? You did too. Wasn't it awesome? Something that hardly ever happens. But we got to see it. And then just think, we're fixing to have another one in 2.5 weeks. In 2.5 weeks, there's going to be another one. October the 8th, there's going to be another blood moon. It's going to be the second of four. And then in January, the sun is not going to give its light. There's going to be a total eclipse of the sun in January of 2015. And He's telling us thousands of years ago that He's going to do this. Isn't it amazing how that He can do this? I wonder how He could do that, Dan. Reckon it's just because He's God, He can do that?
I reckon.
You reckon? I think He's the King of Kings, don't you? Yeah, He's only God. That's right. He could do anything. Okay, verse 11. The Lord is at the head of the column. Uh-oh. This army. Who's leading this army? The Lord. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders. The day of the Lord is an awesome, terrible thing. Who can possibly survive? Well, guess what? If it's His army and He's leading it, do you and I have anything to worry about? If we walk in obedience to His word, we don't have nothing to worry about. We are His children. Is that right? As children of the Most High God, do we have anything to worry about? No. He's going to take care of His children. Is that comforting? That's very comforting from what I've seen so far, Michael. I'm very comforted when I think, Lord, I'm Your son. Ooh, I'm so glad I'm Your son. If I wasn't His son, I would be trembling in my boots, I'll tell you for sure. If I had a loved one or someone I knew that's a good friend or a close friend or a relative that does not know Jesus, I would be praying. I would be doing something, trying my best to win those people into the kingdom of God. Because if they don't happen to become children of God, they're going to be the ones they're advancing on. They're not going to like it, I can tell you for sure. The Lord is at the head of this column. Wow. Verse 12. This is why the Lord says, turn to Me now while there is time. Give Me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, and mourning. What did I just tell you? Come to the Lord. What if I don't know Him? I'm still in good shape. He hasn't come yet, right? If He hasn't come, I can come and accept Him as my Lord and Savior, and can I become a child of God real quick? Or just in a heartbeat, that's how quick it is. I can become a child of God. Then I don't have to worry about all this. I don't even have to be concerned about this. He's going to take care of me. Verse 13. Don't tear your clothing in your grief. Tear your heart instead. Return to the Lord your God, for He is merciful and compassionate. He's slow to get angry, and He's filled with unfailing love. He is eager to relent and not to punish. That's comforting too, isn't it? So that means how many of us, if we don't know Jesus, we could come to Him? All of us. Anybody didn't know Jesus, you know, all you got to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I want You to save me, and I repent. And He will do it. It makes no difference how bad and how wicked you've been. He is long-suffering and patient. Verse 14, who knows? Perhaps He will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of this curse. Wow. Perhaps you will be able to offer grain and wine to the Lord your God as before. Just think. You all heard Adrian give a testimony a few minutes ago that his wife had been prayed for many times by many people and the pain had not gone away. But this church, we had the opportunity to pray with her. It was last week, wasn't it, Adrian? And her pain went away and she's been healed. Just like Kim, I keep coming back to Kim. But that was the same thing wrong with this little lady. When Scott, her husband, and her came to me, she had had back pain for, what, 10 years? 20 years?
7 years.
7 years. One simple prayer, and I didn't even get to touch her. She was back there to back. She wasn't even, she kind of thought maybe something wrong with me. And there was, praise God. There was really something wrong with me. But she stayed back there, but out of God's mercy, because she needed to be prayed, and I was praying for people with pain that day, God, out of His infinite mercy and grace, healed her anyway, and she's been healed all these years. Is He awesome, Kim? Yeah, don't you love Him for what He does? Yes, He's an awesome God. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Are we all glad we serve that mighty King? He is an awesome God. He does love us. And He tells us here, right here in His Scripture, that He does this. Verse 15, blow the ram's horn in Jerusalem. Announce a time of fasting. Call the people together for a solemn meeting. Wow. We need to know the King is coming. It's time to repent and get rid of our sins and to walk holy in His presence, to stop being those wild people that's doing everything wrong, that's watching the crazy junk, the wicked shows on television. If we're going to watch television, at least watch Christian television, you know. So, wow. Next verse. Gather all the people, the elders, the children, and even the babies. Call the bridegroom from his chamber and the bride from her private room. Wow, sounds like it's getting serious, doesn't it? 17, let the priests who minister in the Lord's presence stand and weep between the entry room of the temple and the altar. Let them pray. Spare your people, Lord. Don't let your special possessions overcome an object of mockery. Don't let them become a joke or unbelieving foreigners who say, has the Lord of Israel left them? Verse 18, then the Lord will pity His people and jealously guard the honor of His land. Verse 19, the Lord will reply, look, I am sending you grain and new wine and olive oil, enough to satisfy your needs. You will no longer be an object of mockery among the surrounding nations. Verse 20. I will drive away these armies from the earth, or from the north. I will send them into the parched wastelands. Those in the front will be driven into the Dead Sea, and those in the rear will be driven into the Mediterranean Sea. The stench of their rotting bodies will rise over the land. Surely the Lord has done great things. This gigantic army that's come to do all this devastation, He's going to run them into the sea and drown them and kill them. The whole bunch. The ones that's coming to destroy Israel. Wow. 21. Don't be afraid, my people. Be glad now and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things, and boy has He ever. 22, don't be afraid, you animals of the field, for the wilderness pastures will soon be green. The trees will again be filled with fruit. Fig trees and grapevines will be loaded down once more. Hey, this is beginning to sound good again. I kind of like all this. 23, rejoice, you people of Jerusalem. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for the rain He sends, remember, or demonstrates His faithfulness. Once more, the autumn rains will come as well as the rains of spring. Praise the Lord. Well, we need some of those. 24, the threshing floors will again be piled high with grain, and the presses will overflow with new wine and olive oil. Yes, this is looking good. 25. The Lord says, I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locusts, the hopping locusts. Did any of y'all have any hopping locusts this last year? Boy, those little critters were out here everywhere we went. They just flew through the air. It was awful. I will give you back what you lost to the swarming locusts, the hopping locusts, and the stripping locusts, and the cutting locusts. Listen to this statement. It was I who sent this great destruction, this destroying army against you. Isn't that amazing? That God is the one that sends all these locusts and everything to destroy all of us. Wonder why he does that. Reckon he does that because of sin? I kind of got a feeling that's why he does all this. Wow. In fact, one day I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm walking through there and we got these things are everywhere. I mean, they're jumping, flying, hitting me in the head and everything else as I'm driving down the road or I'm walking across the farm. I said, Lord, what did I do that caused all of these curses to come up on me? I'm your son. And I thought a minute and then I thought, okay, Lord, forget it. I don't even want to hear it. And I said, the reason I don't want to hear it because I don't have a notepad and a pencil. So I know I could never remember all the things you would probably tell me. And this morning, Kim was telling me the Lord spoke to her something last night. And she said he told her so many things. She didn't have a pen and paper. She said, Lord, I won't be able to remember all these things. But he'll tell you again. He'll tell you again. But that is the way it works. I know that we probably do so many things that's wrong according to his word. But the beautiful part about it is I am still his son and he still loves me. And I can't be separated from the love of God. So that means he'll still answer my prayer. And so I praise him for that. Verse 26. Once again, you will have all the food you want, and you will praise the Lord your God who does these miracles for you. Never again will my people be disgraced. I like this. Next verse, 27. Then you will know that I am among my people, Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. Never again will my people be disgraced. 28. Then, after doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. He's going to do that. And literally, he has been doing this for the last 2,000 years. He has been fulfilling this scripture. This has happened to many, many of you. Just like Kim told me this today when she saw me, she said, Pastor, I had an awesome download from God last night in a dream. He showed me some things he wanted me to do. And see, he's doing that. He gives his daughters and his sons, both young and old, all these wonderful dreams and visions. Verse 29. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike. Verse 30. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, I will bring blood and fire and columns of smoke on the earth. He's going to do this. There's going to be wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Let's see what verse 31 says. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn to blood, blood red, before that great and terrible day of the Lord arise. Verse 32. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For some on Mount Zion in Jerusalem will escape, just as the Lord has said. These will be among the survivors whom the Lord has called. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved or will be delivered. Now, is that a good sign? Are we the children that call on the name of the Lord? Yes. So if we call on the name of the Lord, we will be saved from all of this. He promises to deliver us, but this is coming. These signs that he's talking about here in Joel chapter 32 about the darkness and the blood moons and all these things is right here. And we are here today to see this, that we've already had one blood moon on Passover. We're fixing to have another one in 2.5 weeks. That's right around the corner. And then just in a couple of months, January, we will see the sun turn to darkness. And then in a couple more months, we will see another blood moon. And then in another few months at the end of the year, next year, at October, during the same time, next year, 2015, we will see the fulfillment of four blood moons. Now, they call that, I think they call it a tetrad or something like that. Tetrad or something like that. Okay. I'm not even sure how to say that. But anyway, what it means, I do know it means four blood moons in a row on feast days. And that's what's happening. And so I want to sound the alarm to all of you that if there was ever a time that you need to get right with God and serve Him and put Him first and be about the Master's business, it's now. But I think we should always be like that, though, don't you? I mean, always stay prepared, stay ready, you know, always stay in a love walk with everybody, walk in love. And if you walk in love with everybody and do what God says, there is absolutely nothing the Master won't do for you. Now, I mean, if you'll walk in love, if you've got any kind of sin in your life, any kind of sickness or disease or pain or anything else, if you will get, when the service is over and we pray for you, we've got several teams here that will pray for you. And if one of these teams prays for you, or Cheryl and I pray for you, if you will get rid of your sin, I guarantee our Master will forgive you and He will heal you. But you got to believe that now. And where so many people miss it is when we pray and He does it, and then you walk out and go to a doctor next week or next month. Well, then you go back to that doctor, you lose it because you didn't trust Jesus. And people say, you mean I'm not supposed to go to a doctor? Well, it all depends on where you are in your faith walk. If you got enough faith, you don't need a doctor. You know, if you do not have enough faith, then you better go to a doctor. Somebody said, well, what do I do? I said, you ask God. He'll tell you. You know, just like Dave. When Dave said, Lord, do I need to keep taking this medicine? And he said, well, do you want to be bound up for that medicine all your life? He said, no. He said, then you don't need it. So everything Dave asked God for, He told him what to do, and he got off of it. Now then, 10 years later, Dave is still completely healed and takes no medicine of no kind for him and his wife and his children. I mean, I don't think his children, I don't know, I may be wrong, but I don't think them kids have ever even had an aspirin in their life. I don't think. I don't know. But I know that Dave is not one. In fact, his five children, six, and the one that's coming shortly, he's the other night I kidded him. I said, well, you're going out to dinner. You got to feed eight people. And she said, yeah, that's right. Me and the baby that's already in her, that's two right there. And then they got five other ones that are alive and well, and then him. So, wow. I mean, that boy, he's got to find someplace to really get a good place to eat or get a good deal. He's feeding the whole army there, see? So he has his own army, doesn't he? And they're great little people, I will say. Dave and Yesha raised them kids up. But if you will make sure that you've repented of every sin, and you got rid of that sin, and you're willing to walk in love with God and with everybody, when we pray for you, God will forgive you and He will heal you. And I know some of you here today have certain diseases and you don't want to take those with you, so you want to leave them here because we got the King that bore it and He took it for you so you don't have to have it. So just like Kim, you know, she got rid of hers and she's been healed for 10 years now or something like that. And, you know, her, and her children, their children, all of them. But you don't have to be sick if you believe the promises of God. Is that right? All you got to do is believe. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, I ask you to continue to give me more information and revelation and understanding about the blood moons and the things that's happening, the signs and the sun and the moon and the stars, so that I will be able to understand these signs. You will give me information from somebody or something that you showed that I will be able to pass it on to my church where they'll be able to be prepared and ready for the things that's coming in the future. But look, because Lord, we are at that time that something I know in this year, 2014 and 2015, something, and I'm going to say good, is going to happen. I believe that good things are going to happen. The church is going to be blessed beyond our wildest dreams anytime, and I know that you can do that. And Lord, I know that those that don't love you and serve you, you will curse them. And I don't want to be one of those that are cursed. I want to be an obedient son, and I want to serve you and love you, and I want to see you answer my prayer for people when I pray for them. So Father, we thank you as we go forth this week. May you use us mightily to do great things for your kingdom. May you lead us to the people that need your help so we can be used of you for your glory to bring people into the kingdom, to get people healed, get people set free. May you be glorified as you use us for your glory. And we thank you and praise you for being our mighty God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And Lord, bring us back next Sunday. And Lord, as we go, wherever we go to church, if some of us go to other churches at other times, I ask you to bless them and their pastors, that all of them will begin to understand these mighty signs and things that are happening right now, so that the whole church will not miss these wonderful things that are coming to pass to those that believe. And Father, we just thank you and praise you for the beautiful day outside, the beautiful weather. And we ask you now, Lord, also, that we have not prayed for this in a while, Lord, but we really, for the whole Metroplex, we thank you for forgiving all of our sins. We remit the sins of everybody in the Metroplex. And Lord, after doing that, we ask you to send a beautiful 6 or 8 inch slow, nice rain in the next few weeks over this whole Metroplex area, all over like at Bridgeport, all the way across, Lord. Many of the lakes are 10, 15, 20 foot below levels. And some of them are even so low that they're cut off people using water at all to water their yards or anything. I saw that on the news the other night. So Lord, I ask you to send good 6 and 8 inch slow rains where they won't just wash away everything, but they will fill there will be running water where they will fill our lakes up. And then Lord, send the rain and then help us as your children to tell the people that they need to walk in obedience to your word. So you'll send the rain in its season so that we'll just automatically be taken care of by you. And so Lord, I thank you and praise you for sending that beautiful rain in the days ahead, because we certainly do need it. Thank you, Father, for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I just read before I came out here that France, the president of France, is going to the UN this week and presenting the Palestinian nation in the 67 borders with the capital of Jerusalem. And the United States is one that has the veto power, and they're saying that Kerry and Obama is making him do this, and he is not going to veto it.
So they want him to go back to the old borders, huh?
And Jerusalem to be their capital.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And behind that it said, and the nations that bring this on will be judged. But the reason all of this is happening is, and this is in Hebrew Nation, if anybody gets that, you can pass it around to your friends. But the reason that they're doing this is so that the end times can come on and happen.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I can tell you for sure that if our governing forces are over there now in Iraq and Iran and all that stuff over there, and with France or whatever, and they're doing everything they can with the UN to get us to move the Jews back to the 67 borders, if they do that and they divide it and they make Palestine or make Jerusalem a capital of the Palestinians, I can guarantee you something devastating will happen to America. Who knows? Because God clearly said in His Word, do not divide my land. If you divide my land, I will divide you. That's written in the Bible. In other words, like I say, be ready, be prayed up, walk holy before God, be prepared. Because if they're over there now doing something like this, there is no telling what the next 2 or 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks may hold. Since this is the blood moon, something devastating may happen. Because, you know, every time we have divided Israel, we've had something terrible like Katrina, for instance, the perfect storm. I can go on and on. There's all kinds of things that happened the minute our government, tried to divide Israel when we got whacked. I mean, we got whacked big time. Most of us didn't have to suffer through Katrina, but I know lots of people that did. And so lots of people, everything they had was wiped away in Katrina, everything. You know, so, and people died and everything else. It was terrible. But those kind of things is what God does to a nation that divides His nation.
They say He wants it on His watch, and so He will not veto this time. He will let it go through.
Wow. Well, Lord, we ask you to move on the hearts of the people over there. You told us all these things were going to happen in your word, Lord. You told us these things were going to happen so the end of the age can come to be, so that you can judge the world and everything's going to come to an end very soon. And so, Lord, if it does, just watch over us, your children. That's all I can say is, Lord, watch over us and protect us, all of us that profess to be your children. I thank you for these promises that you promised to protect us. So, Lord, I have no fear, none whatsoever. I know you're my commander-in-chief. I know who my commander-in-chief is, and I know you judge everything righteously. I have no fear because you're in charge. So thank you, Lord, for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.